Today on Brains On, we're going to talk about football and whether or not incredible play can actually lead to an earthquake. Sure, if you've ever been tackled, it may feel like an earthquake to you, but in reality, even when a group of linebackers pile on another player, it doesn't shake the earth much. But a recent experiment in Seattle found that the fans watching those linebackers can shake the ground at significant levels. Here to talk more about this is our pal, Sandon Totten.
Hey, Marley!
Hi, Sandon!
Hi!
So, what happened?
Scientists in Washington State have these sensors set up that can detect shaking in the ground. And they were watching these sensors about a block away from the Seattle Seahawks Stadium. Now, that's an NFL team, for those of you who don't know much about football. And basically, what the scientists were seeing was that when the fans went really crazy for a great play, the ground was shaking, kind of like it would for an earthquake. And the way that works is basically, you know, when the fans got really excited, they would cheer and clap and kick their feet on the stadium, and the stadium would shake almost kind of like humming, you know. The scientist I talked to, John Vidali, he's the state seismologist for Washington State and a professor at the University of Washington. He said that they shook so much that they kind of played the stadium itself like a giant instrument. Here's him explaining it.
Sort of like, you know, if you bang on a drum, it kind of vibrates a certain way. And same way the fans were, you know, shouting and clapping and moving around, they made the stadium basically hum.
So he says all their shaking, all their rumbling when they were cheering on their team shook the stadium like an instrument, and it transferred that energy, you know, from this vibrating, shaking stadium into the ground. And that transferred the energy through the area. Kind of like, you know, if you imagine you put something on Jell-O and you started sort of wiggling it, you'd see all of the Jell-O shake. Have you ever done that, Molly?
I have. It's fun.
Jell-O is a good example for basically the way, you know, energy travels through the earth. So this little stadium on the Jell-O was shaking, and then the sensor about a block away could pick it up. Here's how John Vidali describes it.
So, you know, the base of the stadium shakes, the ground vibrates, and then the instrument picks it up. If you were standing near the stadium, you'd also feel the vibration. These are very loud fans.
And by the way, Molly, the sensor they were using is very sensitive. You know that story about like the princess and the pea?
Yeah, there's a little pea under like a giant stack of mattresses, and she's so sensitive that she can feel it even through the giant stack.
Right, okay. So this sensor would make that princess look like a chump. She can, a pea, yeah, whatever. These sensors can detect something as little as a change in a micron in the ground. And a micron is way tinier. It's tinier than even the width of a human hair. So this is like these sensors are like the ultimate princess and the pea.
That's crazy. What do they use it for usually?
Well, they usually use these sensors just to basically detect shaking around the earth, you know. So they want to know if there's rumbling under a volcano, maybe, because that could spell trouble. Or they want to know if an earthquake happened, or if, you know, construction in a nearby neighborhood might be shaking the ground. So it just basically is a way of measuring how much the earth is rumbling.
So the fans made all this noise and the sensor picked it up. Were they actually causing an earthquake?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, what makes an earthquake? I asked John Vidali that, and he said, well, actually, yeah, anything that shakes the earth is an earthquake, he said. It's not all just geology. Usually earthquakes are caused when, you know, kind of two giant tectonic plates of earth slide against each other and create a rumbling. Well, sometimes it's smaller things, like these fans clapping and these fans shaking. They created what was about a magnitude 2 earthquake, which is pretty small. But, you know, they pick up all sorts of things on these sensors that also shake the earth that don't have nothing to do with geology. For instance, they tell me that when jet planes take off and break the sound barrier, that makes a loud sound that they can pick up on their sensors. You've got boats with loud motors, sometimes fireworks, all sorts of things can register on these sensors and actually shake the earth just by being super loud. And by the way, Molly, these fans were super loud. In fact, they were record-settingly loud. There was someone there measuring the amount of cheering these people did, and they sent it into the Guinness Book of World Records, and it set a record for this kind of event for the loudest fans. They were actually so loud, they were 137 decibels, which is pretty much the equivalent of a jet taking off.
That's incredible. Well, what did the scientists learn from this?
Well, so these scientists have sensors all throughout the state of Washington. You know, the person I spoke to, John Vidali, what he's trying to do is get a sense of how much the earth shakes from things other than earthquakes. If they want to basically measure the kinds of earthquakes that are out there so that we know how much earthquake risk there is in a region, we also need to be able to factor out all the stuff that shakes the earth that aren't earthquakes. So when they see something like this, when they can detect a magnitude 2 earthquake that was caused by fans, it has a sort of different kind of shape in the, you know, in their spectral readings of the event than an earthquake. An earthquake usually is a big bang, you know, something happens and then it dies off. Whereas these fans, as they're shaking and rumbling, they kind of get like a longer, more prolonged shake, and it just doesn't look like an earthquake on their readings, on their sensors. So the more they watch events like this, the more they learn about them, the more they can say when they're looking at different data points, when they're looking at their sensors, you know, what their sensor gathered, they can say, well, that looks like that was just some fans rumbling, or that looks like an airplane or a big truck, but that one there looks like an earthquake. And so we can say, okay, we had an earthquake today, or we didn't. So it helps them basically factor out all the noise of everyday life when they're looking for earthquakes.
So it helps them be able to really find the important stuff that they need to be tracking rather than us just making a lot of noise.
Yeah, right. And, you know, it lets them know how many scores the Seattle Seahawks did. If they can't watch the game, they can just see how many times the stadium vibrated.
I live in Minnesota. I've never been in an earthquake before, but you're in California. Have you been in an earthquake?
Well, I've been in some tiny ones. Like the first time it happened, I actually just thought that this fat cat that I lived with, he's very overweight, and whenever he jumped on my bed, it would shake. And I thought that this cat, his name was Kung Pao, I thought he had jumped on my bed because my bed was shaking. But it turns out he wasn't even in the room. It was an earthquake, a very small one. That's kind of what it feels like if you're lying on your bed, just like a big fat cat jumping on your bed.
Good to know. So can they use these sensors to predict earthquakes at all?
What they hope to do with these sensors one day is that if they have enough of them placed all throughout the state of, you know, Washington, Oregon, California, places where there are a lot of earthquakes, maybe one day one of those sensors will detect an earthquake that's out on the coast, say, and it can feel like, oh no, there's a big earthquake coming, and send a message really fast to people in the city saying, hey, in about 20 seconds, this earthquake is going to reach you. That's a little bit of a ways off. It's an idea of having sort of an early warning system that we can maybe basically use these sensors to get a little bit of a heads up that an earthquake might be coming. At most, we'd get maybe a less than a minute warning, but that's enough to, you know, turn off a lot of big machines and to get people out of buildings sometimes. Japan and Mexico both have systems already in place, and they're working on ones here in California and Washington, but we haven't really seen them come to fruition yet. Maybe one day.
Well, thanks, Anna. That was really interesting.
Thanks, Molly. Brains on.
Brains on. Brains on! Sanna Todden is a science reporter at KPCC in Los Angeles. Brains on! As always, you can find more from us in the iTunes store or at our website, brainson.org. Thanks for listening.
Brains on!
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.